Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy-Nader, and I am a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Robert Berry back as my guest for Love Your Music today. We will be talking about Robert's music, past, present, and future, and you'll get to hear a song by Robert during the show. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, Margot, how are you?
I am happy to have you on the show. It's just we always have so much fun.
Well, you know, I do a lot of interviews. I'm very lucky that all these different facets of my career or the studio, whatever, I get to talk to a lot of people. But with you, you were just here doing a song last week, and you noticed the way I said, "Hey, Margot, how you doing?" Like I haven't talked to you for a year, right? That's interview speak there.
Oh, yeah, we had so much fun. I mean, that is definitely one of the ways you live your music is by helping create songs for other people. And I am so grateful, and so is Dudley, and so thankful for not only how much fun we have with you recording the songs, but how they feel and sound when we're on our way home and we're just listening to them over and over and over again. And yeah,
it did turn out really good. You know, one of the good things and also one of the problems I have down here, and you two, you and Dudley understand me so well that it always works really smoothly, but, you know, I get so focused that sometimes you can say something to me and I'm so into the music and looking at it and playing and everything, I don't even hear anything. I'm just so focused on the song. And like, oh, with that song, the string, I said, you know, I just hear the string thing. I want to do it and see what you guys think. And it took me 45 minutes or something to kind of work it out and everything. And you let me have that space, be creative, because I know you, and I think I know what you both like and what will make you happy. So I try to head that way. And if I don't, that's okay, too. Nah, I don't want that. That's fine. Let's try something else. But you do give me the space to create and try to do my best work for you according to what I think I should do. And that's really the greatest part of what I get to do here at the studio is putting that foundation to a great song and lyrics and singer. You know, it's building the right foundation so that the singing and the words come across the right way. And we get to do that. It really turned out lovely, really.
Yeah. I can't wait, and Dudley's actually even more anxious. he's like, "We got to get the song out. We got to get the song out. Everybody has to hear it," you know. And so, you know, as you know, you're still doing some tweaks on the guitar levels and things like that. So, yeah, I think the one that you sent yesterday, the second one, number two, is the one we're going to go with. And
that's what
he said.
It sounds
amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So
that's great.
I'm going to have Dudley on my show on the 21st, and we're going to play our song, Sleigh Ride in the Sky, that day. Yeah, yeah, because that way we can let people hear it, and they can share the replay of the show with it and hear about recording it with you. So,
and at that point,
you know,
it'll be available, too, right? So.
Yeah, yeah, hopefully if I get it published by then. Yeah, it should be. It should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know how things like that go, though. So, you know.
Oh, you can get that package that puts it out everywhere, and it's really easy these days to get it out there in front of everybody. It's letting them know it's out there is the hard part.
Exactly.
Look, I tell you a funny story. I say that because 6x6 is doing really well now, and it's spreading organically, and we're almost at 250,000 views. But because of that, I got a email from a record company in Spain, and they want to re-release an album that I hate, but I did it when I was 17. I was a junior in high school, and I started it, and I think I finished it when I was a senior. And it was me learning how to do what I do. You know, I went down to I recorded everything at home on my little four-track I had. Then I went to Tiki Studios, where I wasn't working yet, and recorded it for real on all the big equipment. And about six of the songs I did all by myself, because I'm trying to figure out how to be an engineer and watching Grady, the owner there, engineering. Two of them I did with Richard Katz, a guy that had a band that was just Hammond B3 organ and drums. This is the two of us. Did two songs
uh-huh.
on them. And then everybody else I knew at the time, I did another song, brought them all in, horns, the drummer, guitar, but everybody I knew, there's like 12 people that were in bands with me at certain times through high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a god-awful, terrible album, right?
And then I sing like this. I sound like Jerry Lewis when I'm singing. It's just
awful. Oh, I don't believe you.
You know what? I can't believe the way I sound on it. It's terrible. So they want to re-release it, and I'm telling them, this is not a good album. Why? Oh, no, we like that we're completist. We want everything you've done, and it started with that album. I'm like, oh, geez. So I'm toying with it. I'm talking to Rob Fowler, the guy that does so much for me, a good friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
about what does he think about this old, terrible album? Is it going to ruin my reputation? You know? And he thinks I should do it. I'm like, oh, geez. It's called Heavy Berry. And the reason it's called Heavy Berry is because in high school, and as a sophomore, I started building bass guitar cabinets. And they were made out of subflooring plywood, which is an inch and an eighth, and they were really heavy. And
uh-huh.
I took him to the music store where I was teaching piano, and the owner helped me lift it. He goes, wow, this is really a Heavy Berry. And I thought, oh, I'm going to call the cabinets Heavy Berry. And I sold four or five of them, you know.
Uh-huh.
But then I decided to call the album Heavy Berry just because I really didn't expect it to do anything. I pressed like 50 copies,
uh-huh.
and I just, you know, a few friends got them, and my mom, and that was it. And then some way or another, somebody got one. And this guy has heard it in Spain. Anyway.
Isn't that wild that it somehow ended
upsetting.
Up in Spain?
It's upsetting. What do you mean wild? Oh, my worst nightmare is out there in the public. Ah.
Oh, that's so funny. Because, yeah, I've known you since the Hush days, but I haven't known you that long that, you know.
Right.
I never heard Heavy Berry. In fact, this is my first time even hearing about it. But the fact that I had said that I wanted to have the theme for today's show be past, present, and future, it fits in perfectly. It's like,
well,
the universe provided it.
It was an album that I purged out of my memories. So this guy just, and this was just a couple of days ago at the email. And, well, speaking of that, you mentioned Hush, which is in the past also.
Mm-hmm.
They want to release another company, I forget the name of the record company, but it's a legitimate record company, wants to re-release
mm-hmm.
all the albums I've done that haven't been on CD. And both Hush albums are part of that, the very first Hush album and one called Hot Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we had a couple singles that nobody ever heard. They were just released for radio. They want extras on there. So all of it, and that was last week that came to me, and I'm like, why are they finding all this old stuff, you know? And of course, you know about the Taking It Back album out of Germany. That there's
oh, yeah, I love that album.
Copies of. Yeah, well, that they went bankrupt shortly after that was released, not because of me, but...
No.
And, you know, they want to re-release that. And then I had another album called In These Eyes in South Africa with the record label, and Apartheid... It got squashed right as that came out, which changed the whole music thing in South Africa, too. So that album sort of went away. And they found all these things. They have five albums they want to re-release. So that's all from the past. And you know me. I always say, what can I do tomorrow? I know what I'm going to do today to make a difference and enjoy my life and do music as I do every day. But what can
mm-hmm.
I do tomorrow? That's what I'm always looking forward to. I'd never look back. And all of a sudden, I'm having to think back more than I want to. It's all uncomfortable for me because I always feel like I can do better tomorrow, you know. And I want to be a better person and do better work. But
I think that's part of why I wanted to have the theme be past, present, and future, though, because you've said that on my show a number of times that you're always looking at what's going to be next and what's going to be next
yeah.
and how can you make it better. But the thing is, though, is the past. Even if it's not up to what your standards are today, those were amazing albums. I am so glad that In These Eyes and Taking It Back will be back out for other people to get, because Those are two of my favorite albums of yours. That one and also Pilgrimage to a Point. I love that one, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got
that one's
so
been,
many.
Been released, yeah.
What did you say?
That one, Pilgrimage, was actually picked up by a record company, and I still have about 100 of the original Pilgrimage albums, the black and white one, where the one the record company did was in color in the inner sleeve, that I sell on my website, just because people find out about it. And, of course, it has songs that was Steve Howe and something I wrote for ELP they didn't use, and just different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of that album, though. That's older stuff. Go 1987 through 1992 or so. But
well, what about also what about Back to Back, that album that you did? I liked that one. That one was great.
Yeah,
too.
They want to put that on the five albums they want to re-release. That is one of them too.
Well, yeah. I want to have all of them.
Well, we'll see. You know, Rob says you got to do this. I go, Rob. It's six old albums, you know, and they're just kind of out there, and I don't really have to think about them. And anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll probably do it. Just I'm getting from most people that it's the right thing to do. It's not just music that I think of what I can do tomorrow. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a very happy guy. I'm a very positive guy, and I've always been that way.
Right.
My mom is that way. My dad was too, but my mom even more. And I just, you know, tomorrow, just life in general, you know. How can I go down to Starbucks and harass the guy, have a little fun with him, because most people don't talk to the baristas and stuff. And, you know, how can I bring joy to whatever my path is? Because I think, as we've said before, I want to live to at least 100, but I want to be healthy.
Uh-huh.
And to
yeah.
be happy and stress-free is the way to be healthy, you know.
So true. Yeah, so true. Stress lowers your immune system, and it also causes inflammation and all sorts of other things. So whatever we can do to feel in the moment, enjoying the moment, and actually that leads back into gratitude, appreciation. Those are part of the ways that we stay in the moment and enjoying the moment, is to really actually be there in the moment. And as much as I say that you look to the future when it comes to music and things like that, when we're there with you in the studio, you are so in the moment. It's so amazing how you can focus, and how, you know, no matter what we're doing and distracting you, you still can focus on what needs to be done.
Well, that's my happy place. You know, I just really enjoy, my God, I've been here a long time now. And 5 days a week, I'm doing music for somebody. You know, like next couple
mm-hmm.
days, I will say tomorrow and the next day, I have a Books on Tape. A guy named David, who's written, he's a pastor at a church, but he's written this book about sort of loneliness and how the internet and everything has made people lonely. They find their comfort in whatever, TikTok, whatever. You know, and it's really quite good. Since he is a pastor, he gets a little religious at times, but he talks about how people find comfort in certain things, which isn't real comfort or friendship or belonging, like you know, belonging, watching Facebook, not really, but they do. They feel like they belong.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels that's one of the problems that the world is facing down the road, and he wants to make people aware of this so maybe they think about, you know, I need real relationships besides I enjoy Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know. And it's been really kind of interesting to listen to him as he reads his book. But
it's
a lot of work, too. No.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the thing is, I agree. I mean, I personally, with Facebook and Instagram, I like to post something uplifting and something hopefully positive and or fun or whatever, lighthearted on Instagram, and then it's so easy to share it to Facebook, and that's really the main way that I post to Facebook these days, is through that.
Through Instagram, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well,
but, yeah, I don't spend a lot of time scrolling through Facebook or Instagram. You know, I usually check it once in a while and see if something interesting's in the news feed, or go and look at what the notifications are and see if somebody that I enjoy, like you, has posted something, you know. So it seems like I'm on it more than I am, but I just, you know, for the people that are real friends that are on Facebook, I like to see what they've posted.
You can also tell, because I do have a social media team that posts things, when it's me that says something and when it's them that says something. I think at one point you said, that sounded kind of weird, you saw something, you commented to me. What I do on social media, anybody that likes a song or album or something I've posted, I go and I try to answer every one of them. I want to connect with those people and make it a real friendship, not just, oh, they liked it and they commented. Like, I get a lot on 6x6, how people like it, and it's their favorite album of the year. Well, I'm not going to just let that go by with a like, you know. I'm going to say something to them. That, unfortunately, takes me an hour every morning. As I'm getting out of bed and having coffee, that's what I do. And I do enjoy it, because I try to be a compassionate person. I feel like that is sharing a deeper connection for the music from the singer and the songwriter, you know, actually thanking them. So, I mean, it can be done, but most of it is pretty superficial, I think.
You do a really good job with that. I've seen your comments that you make when people comment on your albums, and it's very obvious that you care and that you want to write something that connects you to, you know, and to get to know them. And that reminds me of my 7 C's: connection, communication, curiosity, creativity, collaboration, celebration, and contribution. And you do all of those. You do all 7 of them.
Well, you know, I guess the thing to be is that, but not know that you're doing all that. It's just who you are. I mean, I'm not even identifying any of it. You just try to be the best person you can be and treat people. I feel that if we all treat our inner circle, the circle we can touch or reach or everything, the best we can, if we all did that, the world would be a much better place. But, you know, all we can do is treat that circle that we can influence or help or whatever as good as we can. That's just my philosophy. If I do it or not, I don't know, but I don't sit back and analyze. It's sort of like songwriting, you know. Sometimes you write the words and they come out and you go, yeah, I just like the way that flows. And if you analyze it for the perfect meaning, you start making it perfect English and you start rewriting things, you've ruined the idea of the song, you know. You just have to let things flow and do what you can to make the world a better place. Anyway, I'm getting way too serious, I apologize.
That's totally true. That's totally true. And that's how the song, speaking of writing songs, how Sleigh Ride in the Sky got written last year, and I think it was in December. Dudley had created the Sleigh Ride in the Sky with Santa and the reindeer for our holiday card that we sent out.
Christmas card that we sent out.
Yeah, and that gave him the idea to write the song. And so it just sort of happened. It just, like, all of a sudden there was this song. And
that's the best way.
Yeah. Speaking of Christmas songs, though, also I wanted to talk to you about one of your other bands that's one of my favorites, which is December People and the classic rock Christmas songs. I love those. And I miss the concerts.
I do, too. That is, of all the musical journeys I've had, that is the only real disappointment. I just felt that I should be able to launch that. You've been to quite a few of those shows. You know that the audience just loves it. I'm not saying that, look at how great I am. No, they love it and they have fun because there's an amount of discovery there for how we're going to do the song. You know, it's a song they know, but they're going to do it in some classic rock band style. These great musicians like Gary Peel from the band Boston and Sammy Hagar's drummer David Lauser, even Y&T's drummer in the first few years, Mike Vanderhul. I mean, these are top-notch musicians. So you get a great show, you get this discovery thing, and then there's albums of it to buy to take home that you can actually sing along with because you know the song. But all of a sudden you're singing White Christmas like Billy Idol, you know? And I've never had the right manager that made it happen, and I've had three managers for it. And it's a heartbreaker, really. I still feel it's just waiting to happen. I'm going to do a new album next year. Half of it's going to be the female artists, like I have Deck the Halls, like Joan Jett. I love rock and roll. I'm trying to think of the style. There's so many of them. I'm going to do half that and half the rock stuff,
mm-hmm.
The rock, the male rock stuff. And I'm going to put another album out if I can find a manager or not. I get a lot of people emailing me this time of the year, and especially on the December People website.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still available, this and that? And I only have one album available, and that's what I call the greatest hits, the St. Nick's Pick.
Mm-hmm.
But it has all the best stuff on it, so it's a really good introduction to December People. And that's on, you know, the St. Nick's, even on the December People site or on my website. If people want to find it, they can find that.
Yeah, and it's also classicrockchristmas.com, too, isn't it? A classic rock Christmas,
yeah,
or is it classic rock?
Yeah, there's a couple of different
Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They tried to
change
the name.
What?
They tried to change the name because they said December People, this one manager, said December People doesn't give people the right idea of what the show's about if they don't know who you are. I said,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's true. Let's call it a classic rock Christmas. Okay. So we tried that, and that didn't work either. It's the
mm-hmm.
manager, you know, they need to open the doors and they need to call in a few favors. Somebody has to
mm-hmm.
know somebody that, like if we did all Indian casinos, let's say, somebody has to be a booker for those things and then tell those casinos, hey, you got to have this show. Just trust me on this.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you know, it could end up happening the same way that it's happening with all these other albums getting re-released. You know, somebody's
yeah.
going to call
yeah.
you up one day and go, Robert, I want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So speaking of that, before we run out of time, I want to play one of the December People songs, Sleigh Ride and I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I love how some of them you have, like, two different songs that kind of go back and forth. And I have so many of them on here that I could play, but I don't have time to play all of them. But, yeah, I love the Up on the Rooftop and Feliz Navidad. That one's so good, too. And there's just, you know, I absolutely love them. And you've got Silver Bells, Winter Wonderland, all sorts of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got those on here, too. But I think let's play Sleigh Ride and I'll Be Home for Christmas. And then we'll talk about it.
Okay,
so
that's
about 4 minutes, right?
Yeah, that's channeling a band called Fun, I think it was, which a lot of people don't remember that
mm-hmm.
if they hear the little pieces in. It's not like as obvious as the Tom Petty and the Eagles and all that, but it's a good one. I really like it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to mention that they're based on classic rock bands.
Yeah.
And the sound that those bands have. So, yeah, Fun. And you know me, I love Fun. So here we go. 4 minutes, and then we'll talk some more right after the song.
All right.
Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Very good.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ring, ringling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling, friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Let's look at the show. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry fairyland. Take the road before us and sing a chorus or two. Come on, it's lovely weather for sleigh ride together with you. bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's a lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's a lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Tonight.
Yeah, it totally does not rhyme at the end, but it had to say it.
You know, the thing is, those albums are so much fun to listen to in the car and to sing along with, and one of the things I love about it is that I'm able to listen to them earlier than the regular Christmas songs, and Dudley doesn't complain because he loves to sing along with them too. And so does Xander.
Yeah, what are you starting Christmas in April for? Wait a minute.
usually, for me, it's like in November I want to start doing it. And we, believe this or not, we don't even have a Christmas tree yet.
Well, okay.
Well, we've been busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that does it, huh?
Yeah.
Rebecca wasn't going to put up a Christmas tree this year. She goes, it's just so much work. And, you know, she's all about Christmas like you. So I'm thinking,
uh-huh.
Oh, let's see how this works. And I think it was the very next day I come home and the Christmas tree is up, of course. I said, I could have helped you, you know. But it's kind of funny. I'm not having a Christmas tree. We're not going to have one this year. I go, yeah, right. Like, that's going to fly.
Well, you know, we usually get our Christmas trees at the Lucky Store near here, and so I call them our Lucky Trees. And right now they're almost out of trees, and supposedly they're getting some more in a day or so. But,
yeah.
So hopefully we'll get one soon, because I love that. I absolutely love all the colored lights on ours. We have little white lights on our ficus tree all year long. So for me, the colored lights are the ones that I really like for the tree. But, yeah, hearing the Christmas songs. And like you said, I mean, one of the really cool things about going to your concerts, which I have pictures of in the slideshow and also in the poster, there's a picture of you guys doing one of the concerts. But I love that everybody can sing along, you know, because we all know the words.
Yeah.
You know?
That was part of the model that I thought, because the record company asked me to do the first December People album, and I didn't want to do a Christmas album. I don't want to sing Christmas songs, you know, just like they
mm-hmm.
are. And they said, well, figure out how to do it. And I did it on, gee, I forget what the first one was. It might have been a version of Carol the Bells, like in the style of Yes. So it was really complicated and fun to do. And they loved it, and I went, gee, I could do this. And it was some years later that same record company asked me if I'd put a band together. And they
mm-hmm.
were going to get the tour together. And the head guy, the president of the company, is going to manage it. So that was great. Well, right as we were doing the promotional video, he had a stroke. And
oh, no.
It took him out of the picture. Yeah, and he was a wonderful guy. He's still alive. He's still a great guy, but he just didn't do the company like he used to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he did so much for my career. His name is Peter Morticelli. Wonderful guy. He did so much for my career that I can't even, we'd be way over time if I started talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the guy, and he's the one that told me when I said, I don't want to do a Christmas album, he said, you figure out how you're going to do it and get back to me. And here's one of the most fun and really rewarding things musically I've ever done, I think. It's just, well, you know, you've been to the shows. You know how people react. It's just a feel-good thing. So,
yeah,
maybe
totally
next year
is.
I can resurrect it. That's the dream. And I'm meeting and working with more people all the time. A lot of well-known guys. You know, I just got back from singing at a Sgt. Pepper's Beatle tribute at the Grammy Museum in Los Angeles, which
yeah.
I would never do. But right now I'm promoting 6x6, and we're not touring and stuff. We're still working the
mm-hmm.
album. So I
mm-hmm.
thought, I need to go do a show. So this guy had me do Abbey Road a couple months ago. So I went out to do Sgt. Pepper's. And here's John Jorgensen, who was actually toured with Elton John Band, a guy that's in the Turtles, a guy that, what's the other band, this guy? Anyway, a bunch of people from all these different bands that were guest
mm-hmm.
vocalists. And, you know, who knows? Maybe one of those will be in December People someday. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a fantastic idea, and the way that you guys do it, and I've said this before on the show, it's amazing when you do the show and you show how thinking about, oh, well, maybe we could combine this song and have it be sounding like this band, and how sometimes it can't work, makes you realize even more that the fact that you do it so beautifully on each of the songs is, it's just genius. You know?
I mean, some of it, I can't figure out why I can't get a Rolling Stones song, but all the ones I've tried, it never comes out quite right. And a couple other bands that I'd like to get their style into December People just can't make it happen. I'm still working at them. The Stones I'm going to work at for sure. But it takes the right guitar hooks and the right sound of the song to match the holiday song.
Uh-huh.
Like Joan Jett singing I Love Rock and Roll as Deck the Halls. It worked perfect.
Deck the
Halls of Holly. Down. You know, it's perfect. And I already have that all laid out, ready to go, and some other ones. We did In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins. We started our show with last time we played We Three Kings. It
uh-huh.
worked perfectly. And that big drum roll in there. It was a great start to this show. It was really, really good. Fit like a glove, but not all of them can. Anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, anyway, so moving on, then you went into 3 and 3.2, and actually 3 is sort of before the December People, right? And then 3.2 is after the December
yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've talked about those things a lot on the show, and I've played songs from the albums on the show.
You know, it sounds like I can't keep a job, huh?
No.
All these bands.
You know what it is that you like variety. I can totally relate to that. I realize that I need variety. I can't do the same thing all the time or else I get kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, I get it. And, you know, I like to feel viable within my chosen profession if it's working with people that come in. Even, you know, you and Dudley are pros. I mean, we're working on, what, the third album, right? I mean, this is...
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of stuff I love to do, but you wouldn't think I'd love it when someone comes in that has, like, a lousy song and can barely sing. But, you know, to help them get something by the end of the day that they never thought they'd get, that's rewarding in a different way than the professional way. And having 6x6 bust out so big, that's rewarding. But it's no more rewarding than that person that can barely sing and wrote their first song that probably shouldn't be recording but has decided they want to do it, and I need to bring that alive for them. It's all has to do with me doing what I love to do, but I don't know.
You have a real talent for making people feel comfortable and have fun there. And I just was realizing that it was November 2003 that we went down and recorded the first couple songs of Dudley's with you. Yeah. So next year it'll be 20 years we've been recording with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Dudley's 25 years old, so he started writing young.
I know. Man. And so I wasn't even born yet because he's seven
there you
years
go.
Older
me
than me.
I was, Dudley and I was working together before I was born. There we go.
Probably. All right, so let's talk about 6x6, though, here, because we're running out of time. We've only got like 8 minutes left. And let's talk about 6x6. And I have to say that I love the Journey Internal, the graphic novel. Thank you
for
creating that. And, yeah, I love that it has lyrics from all the songs in it, too. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I'm learning because J.C. Baez, the artist, who's just incredible. He does. I mean, he's the real deal. You look at that and you go, "Oh, this is real graphic artist or graphic novel, comic book stuff." And every chapter's in a different style of comic book art. That he's going to do the next one. He's already said, "Hey, this is a great partnership. I'll do the next one with you." So we've already decided to try to make the band bad guys in it. So we'll see how that works. It's going to be an alternate universe of maybe on Earth the band's good guys, but somewhere out there in space there's the alternate band of bad guys, and they're, I don't know. We haven't gotten any farther than that yet, but I want to make it more comic book worthy, right? And it's really kind of fun to do, and it's a whole different piece. When I wrote the story for the one you have,
right?
I had never written a story, and JC said, "Okay, let's do this. I love the songs." And he said on the phone, he goes, "What's the story?" I said, "A story?" Because, you know, we have to have a story. I said, "Ooh, there's separate songs. Let me think about it." And within a week, because I'm positive, right, I'm a very positive person, I came up with what I believe is a very positive story, and he loved it. And, it, of course, it starts with Rain, the character, seeing the world as something not beautiful and not nice, and by the end, he realizes that he needs to see it differently and embrace his circle of good people and his good area, and it totally changes his outlook on life, changing his internal thinking, you know. I'm not explaining it very well because I'm not an articulate person with my mouth, but it was fun, you know?
I love it, too, and you're right. I mean, seeing his travels through the different songs is just so cool. And then on the last page, I love the parts in there. I don't want to spoil it for anyone else, but I love how you talk about, or Rain talks about the circle of influence on there a lot. And how it changes how you look at life and how you feel about life and the results you get and everything. So, you know, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, you get what you give, right? That's one of them. It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to be successful, you hang around successful people. That's important. But you have to want to see the good in no matter what comes at you. Uh-oh. What was that beep?
What?
Oh, there was a beep on my phone. I guess it was a call come in and steal your phone. Don't worry, I don't have to answer it.
Good. Yeah. No, we still
have
5 minutes left.
Of course, I'm
left.
Not going to answer it. That doesn't usually happen to us on this phone. But you have to change negative situations into a positive. You have to see the good in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where Rain had to wind up, you know? Yeah, I can't say any more than that about it because...
Yeah, no, you don't want to spoil the story. But
if they want to read it, you know, I've only, I printed 200 of those. It's very rare right now. And
mm-hmm.
I haven't sold that many because we're not really promoting it. Like, hey, let's sell these graphic novels. But I'm
mm-hmm.
hoping that it takes off a little bit organically through all the people that bought the album. Because, I mean, with 247,000 views on YouTube, you know, that's not album sales. But that record company has sold out a few times on Amazon
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So they've sold
cool.
really well. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to people sort of wanting that as a companion piece just because it's a major undertaking. It really was.
You know, I'm really glad to have it as a companion piece. And it's funny because, you know, reading the graphic novel and seeing the illustrations that JC created for it, it makes me feel more of a connection with the songs, too. So that are on
that's
the
cool.
album.
That's a great review of it. That's really nice. I will say that I think on the next one,
uh-huh.
I'm not going to put the lyrics at the end of each chapter. I think I'm going to put the lyrics at the end of it because it breaks up the flow of the graphic novel story a little bit more than I think it should. And that's one of the things I've learned, I think, that, you know, you need that story to flow. So anyway.
I don't know. Maybe. I didn't break it up for me, and I really liked having the lyrics there. So, you know, I don't know. For me, I like having them there. I think I would say go ahead and have them there. But you can also do it the other way if you want. Well, we've got less than 3 minutes left, so what do you want to leave our listeners with today?
My home phone number is... I am... Like I said on the DVD, you know, the 3.2 tour, we put out a DVD that sold really well, and it starts off, I walk out on stage, and I, you know, which you don't do that at a concert, you come on blast on the big song, right?
I
walked out, and I thanked everybody for letting me live my life of music and playing and supporting me all these years, because that's why I did that tour. I wanted to thank people, and I wanted to be up close to them, and that's really... How does it happen that this 6x6 comes along and does so well? After all the years I've been doing music, I can't be more thankful than the support that people have given me and given me the chance just to listen to the music to see if they like it, if they want to support it. You know, a lot of times the people just won't give it a chance to even listen. You know, it gets nowhere. And here, I'm just really thankful. And I thank everybody for that. That's hard to...
Well, you know, I
amazing.
Have to say thank you to you for all the ways you live your music, because you do, and you bring so much happiness and joy to the world, and to me, that's what's most important, is to be happy and contribute happiness, and you do that, Robert. You contribute so much happiness to the world and to us.
It's all being selfish. I do it because it makes me happy. So it's all being selfish.
Well, I totally get that because it makes me happy when I can make other people be happy too. So
yes.
And feel good. Yeah.
More people need to understand that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. The more you can give happiness to others, the more happiness you're going to feel. Those are some of the keys to happiness.
Yep. I agree.
Well, we are almost out of time, and I just want to say again, thank you for everything that you do that creates
happiness. Thanks for having me again
on
the show, and I did enjoy working on the song. I'm excited that you guys have approved the mix and are ready to, you know, launch it out there. And that's the other part of it. You can do good work, but if it doesn't go anywhere, you know, it's... not the same as when at least some people can, you know, download it or wherever and listen to it. That's a big reward there. That means you're proud of it, and I did the job you needed done. And that's
we are proud of it, and we love it. It makes us so happy.
Cool.
We keep listening over and over and over.
Cool.
Thank you. Well,
all right, you're welcome, and we will speak again.
We will.
All right.
Bye for now, Robert. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, live your music.